This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast. This broadcast is coming to you from Grand Rapids, Michigan, telling forth from God's inspired, infallible, indestructible, and irresistible word, the glad tidings that mercy from the Lord is a living reality. This is your radio pastor, Peter Nortier, speaking. We trust that you will listen carefully for the next half hour as we endeavor to set forth the good news of mercy and pardon from a holy and just God to a world of guilty and lost sinners.
Hope you enjoyed that number. And all we want you to do is, when you bow with us for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, thank you again for the opportunity we have of broadcasting thy truth by the means of radio. Thou dost know the hearts out there. Thou dost know who are listening. Thou dost know the condition and the destiny of every individual. And how glad we are that all these things are under thy control and that thou art working out things after the counsel of thy will. And so, Lord, we just ask you, bless this broadcast as never before. Use it for thy glory and honor, as only thou canst do. Make it to become a medium communication of thy word to the hearts of these that thou dost cause to listen in. Lord, we know that every sinner outside of thee is dead, and that if you don't quicken them, they'll never come, never be able to hear. And so, Lord, we just ask thee, even now, quicken these hearts out there that need to know you. Then we pray also, bless the broadcast and use it for thy glory and honor. And we pray, Lord, cause it to edify thy people, as it please thee. But whatever it is, we want you to get glory to thyself in all that's said and done. We ask it now, Lord Jesus, for thy sake, and in thy name we pray. Amen. This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast coming to you from Grand Rapids, Michigan. We're delighted to come into your homes by the means of radio. Some of you hear us in the morning, some in the afternoon, some at night. But whenever it is whenever we have the privilege of coming into your home, always remember, we count it a privilege to be a radio guest in your home. And we hope that the broadcasts are a blessing to your heart. Now, the only way we're going to find out about that is for some of you to drop us a letter or a card. Some of you listen to us week in and week out, and you never drop us a letter or a card or anything else. There are some that not only hear us, but they also help support the broadcast. And, you know, we don't ask for money on this broadcast, and we never will, because we just ask the Lord, and he's continued to supply the needs all through these years without us ever having to ask anybody for any finances. It isn't that we don't need them. We do, but we trust the Lord to bring them in. And you know, every month the bills are paid, and there's enough to go on again. And it's a joy to be able to walk that way with the Lord God of heaven. Oh, I hope you know what I'm talking about. Now, we want you to write us a letter, but we also want you to tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast. And if you're on praying ground, we want you to pray for us. Because, you see, the Lord God of heaven honors prayer. And when you pray for us, the Lord uses the broadcast in a greater way than ever before. Now, we want you to tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast. Give them the call letters, the name of the station, the time, and the name of the program, if you will. And then you drop us a letter or a card. Our mailing address is, it's the Mercies of God Association, or you may abbreviate it and put MOGA, M-O-G-A, and the address is 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49505. Knapp Street is spelled K-N-A-P-P, and the street is located in the northeastern part of the city of Grand Rapids. Let me give it to you again. The Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan. The zip code is 49505. We're also on the Internet, and if you want to pick us up on the Internet, you do this. It's podcastharbor.com. P-O-D-C-A-S-T, that's two word, or one word, podcast and then harbor, H-A-R-B-O-R.com. So tune us in, if you will. Now let's get quiet there on the radio. Let's listen to another number, then we'll bring you a message from the Word of God. We'll be looking to hear from you this week, so don't disappoint us.
is. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1 down through verse 9. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready in every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. We ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Our subject today is God's sovereign mercy. Last time we left off with a study on the mercy of God. In our discourse, we pointed out that the mercy of God is great, plenteous, tender, abundant, and everlasting. Today, however, we shall pursue the subject in a different light because the mercy of God is not understood very clearly by the vast majority of our religious people today. The sad thing of it is that the majority of our churches today aren't preaching doctrinal sermons any longer, and people today are not being fed from the Word of God. So today we're going to point out that the mercy of God has various characteristics which are, first, the mercy of God is composed of a general mercy extended to all creation. You see, even if you live your life out and you die and go to hell, you'll have lived your life under the mercy of God, but when you die and go to hell, that mercy will cease. People today live, breathe, work, sleep, and play because the mercy of God is upon them. My Lord sends the rain upon the just and the unjust and makes his sun to shine upon the world in a definite, faithful exhibition of his mercy. Man does not merit, earn, or deserve such mercy, but it comes even though it is unappreciated. This is due to the general mercy of the Lord God of heaven. Secondly, we see the special mercy extended also to mankind. This special mercy results in the communication of life's necessities unto the children of men, even though they rebel at the thought of being dependent upon the Lord God of heaven. Many of you are in that category right there. You are saying in your heart, well, I've done this. It's my work. It's my activity. It's my hands, and it's my brain, and everything else which has brought me that far. No, my friend, it's the mercy of God being given to you, even though you rebel at the very thought of it. While this mercy is given without reserve, it also ends at death because it is a temporal mercy. Some of you think that this hour that you know must know God and are in relationship with him because of the abundant mercy he has bestowed upon you. Now hold your seat. This is a trick of Satan because God's special mercy is now extended to all men. You see, the law of God, the justice of God, the wrath of God, and the holiness of God cries out for the destruction and the damnation of every sinner at this hour. Yet sinners are living, and we find we're living and breathing and moving and having a good time and so on and so forth without a care of God whatever and without a thought of him at all. And we find very clearly they think that they know the Lord because of God's special mercy extended upon them. No, sir, my friend, this is a trick of Satan, because God's special mercy is resting now upon all men. However, this mercy ends at the grave, and when that does, the individual will be just another face in hell. There is another characteristic of the mercy of God which we need to know about, and today our lesson will be to examine this characteristic of God's mercy. This is the sovereign mercy of God. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. People don't like sovereignty. They don't even like the term. But my friend, I want to tell you right now, God is a sovereign God. In a limited sense, you also are a sovereign being. Let me illustrate, if I may. Well, you can have a dinner party at your home, and you can invite whom you will. And you don't have to invite your neighbors. That's in your prerogative. You can invite your enemies, and you can, if you desire, and you can pass by your friends if you desire, or you can invite this family and let that not pass by that family. And I'll tell you right now, nobody has a right to say anything to you, whatever, because it's your party, you're putting it on, and it's your home, and you have the privilege of inviting whom you will to come and visit with you. That makes you a sovereign in that particular realm. Now, people today don't like the reality of the sovereignty of God. But now I want to tell you again, God's mercy is a sovereign mercy. This mercy of God is given when the Lord pleases, how the Lord pleases, and to whom the Lord pleases. Now pay close attention. It is not bestowed promiscuously upon all people, but it is bestowed specially and particularly upon the elect of God. In Romans chapter 9, verses 15 through 18, the Scripture brings this out very clearly where it says, "For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." Now listen to these words. "Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth." Now pay close attention. I realize the statements made here are contrary to the average preaching of this hour. But my friend, you need to know the truth. God's mercy is sovereignly bestowed upon whom the Lord directs and chooses to bestow his mercy upon. This is known as the everlasting mercy. The testimony of those is like the words of this song, which reads, "When I was lost in sin and shame, how thou let me take the blame. Blessed Lord, how merciful thou wast to me. When I could look down deep within and see the sinfulness of sin, blessed Lord, how merciful thou art to me." What about you, my radio friend? Has God ever done this to you? Has he ever caused you to open your heart and made you take the blame before him? Has you stood before the Lord God of heaven, a despicable, good-for-nothing, ruined sinner, lost and undone, and yet our Lord, through his mercy, caused you to look down deep within and see the sinfulness of sin, and then wasn't it grace and what mercy it was that he reached down and saved you with an everlasting salvation? In the sovereign mercy of God, we need to understand certain things. First, the mercy of God is based upon the will of God, the love of God, and the purpose of God. As one studies the Bible, one is made to see over and over again that God's will, purpose, and love all work together in harmony, and the ultimate end is to bring glory unto the Lord. It was the will of God to save a certain number of sinners, and he chose them on the basis of his wisdom. In the choosing of this number, the love of God was in action, as well as the purpose of God. Those whom our Lord chose, he loved and purposed to bring into an everlasting communion and fellowship with himself. The chosen ones were no better than the others, but they were chosen as God determined, according to his wisdom, his love, and his purpose. It is upon these chosen ones the sovereign mercy of God is bestowed, apart from any merit, worthiness, effort, or decision on their part. Now, I hope you caught that. The truth of the preceding statement is clearly evidenced for us in the Word of God. Let me set before you some verses to verify what has been stated. Our text in Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 is one of these where we read, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior." Now turn again, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 4 through 7, where we read, "But God, who is rich in mercy, For his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Isn't that something? Oh, my friend, if that doesn't make your heart burn, then you're in a backslidden condition, or else you've never come to know the Lord in the first place. Thus far we have set forth the love and will of God revealed as the basis for his mercy. Now let's look at the method of God in bestowing mercy, as well as the purpose of God in this bestowment. Let's look first at the method God uses in the bestowment of his mercy. For the person to know and benefit from the mercy of God, the individual must experience this reality. Because the sinner is dead in trespasses and in sin, God has to quicken or make alive the individual. In the quickening of the person, certain definite processes take place. The first is the sovereign work of God the Holy Spirit within the heart of the individual. My Lord doesn't ask the person if he or she wishes to be quickened. Instead, my Lord moves in majesty upon that particular individual and imparts life to him. It is the action of the divine Holy Spirit upon the human spirit, apart from any instrument or means. As God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and man became a living soul, so the Holy Spirit imparts life unto the individual in the quickening of the person. Now hold your seat as I give you this truth. The reason you do believe the Word of God, if you believe it, is not to quicken you, but because you have been already quickened. A man is not regenerated first because he believes in Christ, but he believes in Christ because first he has been regenerated. In the physical realm, we see the truth of this set forth because there is always life before there is the birth of a baby. There, the same thing is true in the spiritual realm. Let's look again and see the result of the quickening of the Holy Spirit. When the sinner is quickened or made alive, he begins to perceive certain realities which were unknown before. The first of several is that the individual becomes conscious of the existence of God, of his majesty, his holiness and wrath, as well as of the sinner's own sinfulness and depravity. Prior to this, the person was filled with a spiritual deadness and blackness which enshrouded his soul and kept him a dead being with regard to the things of God. The Word of God was distasteful, the authority of God was disliked, and the Christ of God had no beauty to be desired. Now all has changed because the life of God has been imparted and a tremendous change has taken place. God now is to be known, feared, and loved. Christ is seen as all that the Word has proclaimed him to be, and the Word of God becomes quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The result of this is the individual becomes a person who is in a great conflict because a tremendous battle is raging within the deepest recesses of his own soul. Now let me stop right here. Has this ever taken place in your heart? Oh, I hope it has. The second aspect of quickening is the enlightening of the soul. As the light of God shines in, the soul is made to see that God is what he says he is. He's so. God is right. He's just. He's sovereign. A God of holiness and indignation, as well as a God of mercy and long-suffering. The individual learns this under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. At the same time, the individual is made to look within and see himself as he appears before the Lord. The result is transforming and amazing because the individual is made to bow before the authority and justice of God, as well as to condemn himself as a guilty, lost, despicable, hell-deserving sinner. It is right here the cry for mercy is placed in the heart, and this cry does not stop until Christ is enthroned as Lord and Savior. Now, how long this takes is in the hands of God. With some it'll be short, with others it'll be a long time. But, my friend, I'm going to tell you right now, nobody escapes this and gets to know the Lord Jesus Christ. When this takes place, The person knows, and he knows that he knows it, that God is sovereign and personal in his mercy. The soul which has experienced this mercy of God never gets over what has taken place and never stops praising the Lord for his mercy to him. The result of this is seen in the loyalty and devotion manifested unto the Lord by that individual. Now, this is what takes place in God's sovereign, everlasting mercy. Now, hold your seat. This doesn't happen to everybody. But, my friend, if it hasn't ever happened to you, then put it down. You haven't come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God has mercy on whom he will have mercy, and he hardens whom he will harden. Now, some of you are probably jumping up and down at this preaching, and you're saying, well, I don't believe this, and I'm not going to accept it. Well, I'll tell you why you don't. It's because God hasn't had mercy upon you. And my friend, listen, when he ever does, he'll open your heart and he'll show you your need of him. And when he does, my friend, there'll be a cry in your soul coming from the deepest recesses of your innermost being, crying and asking the Lord to have mercy upon you. Now, what about you in these closing moments? Has the Lord ever wrought this work in your heart so that you cannot cease praising the Lord Jesus for his mercy to you? If you don't know what I'm talking about, my radio friend, you need to go back and see if you've ever been converted. In this closing moment, we give you some clear advice. If this is foreign to you and this preaching is foreign to you, then put it down. The reason you don't understand it is because it's never become a living reality to your heart. So, the only thing you can do and the best thing we can ask you to do is this. You begin to ask the Lord right there to start having mercy upon you. You need to go to him and say, Lord, this preacher's talking about your sovereign, everlasting mercy. I don't know what he's talking about, but would you open my heart and grant it to me according to your sovereign will. You see, when God begins to do this, and he will, he'll show you who you are and what you are and the judgment you're under. And I'll tell you right now, then there'll be a cry coming out of your soul, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. This isn't your salvation yet. When God reaches down and saves you, I'm going to tell you right now, your cry for mercy will turn to a cry of praise, and you'll never stop praising the Lord for having mercy upon you individually. And you'll know beyond the shadow of a doubt that this mercy that he's having upon you is an everlasting mercy. And you'll say, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. All my hope and prayer is that something has been said that the Lord will take and stir you up and bring you to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and may the Lord spare you before it's too late.